Ask the person behind you, what's behind your praise? See, many times people are experiencing defeat after defeat. They're living a cycle of defeat even though they praise God. Your weapon has become ineffective because behind your praise is not obedience and submission to the will and perfect plan of God in your life. Hello, somebody. Don't shout me down now. Amen. There's other stuff there that amen, weight and sin that need to be dealt with. Amen. Even though you praise God, and praise is a weapon of warfare. But when there's other stuff that's there, God can't defend you. Your enemy will triumph over you. Ask somebody, what's behind your praise? See, you can't have your praise mixed with murmuring and complaining. You can't have your praise mixed with dabbling with your tithe and offering. You can't have your praise, amen, you cussing every now and then. You can't have your praise, amen, you're lusting after somebody else's husband or wife. Hello, somebody. See, that praise ain't going to get you nowhere. The enemy is afraid of that praise. But they recognize something else. Amen, because they see beyond that shout. And there's something in you they can identify with. Ask somebody, what's behind your praise? Is there unbelief behind your praise? Hallelujah. Is there discouragement behind your praise? What's behind your praise? Praise is a weapon, but what's behind your praise? They experienced defeat because God could not honor, even though they brought the presence. Let the word try you this morning. See, as much as we praise, as high praise as comes into this house, there are high praises that come into this house. How much of that praise is effective for you? Is it just a moment in time where you feel better, but you go back to those familiar spirits, those familiar ways, and back to a cycle of defeat, even though you praise God? See, your praise ought to carry you into tomorrow morning. Tuesday and Wednesday, that praise is going before you to defeat an enemy. But if you have things behind that praise that are ungodly, that God doesn't honor, that God doesn't condone, then like the Israelites, they gave up a shout, and it frightened the enemy momentarily. Just like a bloodhound, he can sniff out blood. He can sniff you out. Ask somebody again, what's behind your praise? In 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse number 8, Paul, writing to Timothy, he says in verse number 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and without doubting. Paul declares, when men praise, when men worship God, they must lift up holy hands, hands that are clean, hearts that are pure, praise that is perfect. Amen. No matter what language you speak, that praise is a perfect praise. But he said, I would that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Praise unto God. Tell someone it has to be holy. Come on, tell somebody it has to be holy praise. Cannot be mingled with wrath. Cannot be mingled with doubting. Cannot be mingled with fear. Must be holy praise. Amen. Praise wrought in faith. Praise wrought to honor God. Praise that says, God, I trust you. Amen. Look at Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, verse number 8. Another indictment. We want to shift this. We want to change this. Amen. We want you to have victory in your praise. We want Zion to bring forth before she travails. Verse 8, the Lord said, this people draws near me. Are near unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. He said, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. He said, this people draw near unto me. There's a type of person that attends church. I want you to be set free today. That draw near unto God with their mouth, but their heart is far from him. These are they that go out and live a cycle of defeat in their life. We must lift up holy hands without wrath, without doubting. Let not the sun Go down upon your wrath. Be angry, but sin not. Amen. When Jesus was reviled, he suffered it, committing himself unto his Father. Go to John chapter 4, verse number 20. Jesus was speaking to a woman at the well. She's saying, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Someone say that with me. In spirit and in truth. Say it again. In spirit and in truth. What is behind your praise? Is it the Spirit of God and truth? You know, people can cut a step over a lie, but they're living in the cycle of defeat. It's a spirit of decline, and things will only get worse. People can praise God with their mouth and never let go of their sin, and their hearts stay far from him. It only gets worse. But God says he seeks for such to worship him, that behind their praise will be the spirit of truth. Amen. A clean spirit based upon and built on truth. They that worship him. You want true victory, true breakthrough, the Zoe life, quality life. Determine what's behind your praise. Amen. When you come into the sanctuary, amen, we must come together with pure hearts. And if there's anything not pure, you need to lay it on the altar. You need to talk to God. Give it over to God. Ask God to clean me. Create in me a clean heart. Lord, renew in me a right spirit. You that harbor sin in your heart, you will not prosper. You got to let go of stuff. You can't hold grudges. Ask somebody, what's behind your praise? See, when you allow God to clean yourself up, stretch your hand toward heaven right now. Say, Father, this morning, create in me a clean heart. Renew in me the right spirit. Put in my heart and upon my lips truth, that I may lift up holy hands without wrath, without doubting. Forgive me, Lord, of any sin, any weight that does beset me. I lay it aside, that my praise may be pure in Jesus' name. And Lord, I forgive anyone that has trespassed against me. I release them right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now somebody's going to get free. Come on, say somebody's going to get free. Go with me to 2 Kings chapter 19. 2 Kings chapter 19. Starting at verse 14. Sennacherib, king, sent Hezekiah some threatening letters. They were going to come and wage war against Israel. Starting at verse 14. And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, now I want you to see, take note, how Hezekiah approached God. He approached him with praise. Remember, praise is bragging on somebody. Hezekiah approached God. He said, O Lord, God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubim, you are God, even you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. He starts to praise him. Lord, bow down your ear and hear. Open, Lord, your eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which I sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations of their land. Now, the king Assyria and Sennacherib, they were devouring everybody. They were like the Germans in World War II. They were just tearing up nation after nation after nation and burning their wooden gods, their idols. He says in verse 17, of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord God, our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. You see how Hezekiah began to praise as he approached God. He began to brag on God. Lord, you are God alone. This is a fierce army that has gathered together to destroy us. But he took the letter that was written and laid it out before the Lord and began to brag on God. Amen. Go to verse 35. See, Hezekiah, his heart was right before God. The people were postured before God in a correct way. There was not sin in their camp. If you go to verse number 35 of chapter 19, is that correct? 2 Kings 19, verse 35. It says, with whom the Lord had made a covenant and charged them, saying, ye shall not fear other gods, nor bow yourselves to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. But the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and stretched out arm, him shall you fear.
Thank you for joining us as we continue in part 3 of Before Zion Prevails, Behind Every Praise. There is something in every praise. 1 Samuel 3 and 10 states, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. The Lord spoke to Samuel regarding Eli. Samuel had to deliver to Eli what God had spoken to him. Eli, as leader, refused to deal with the sin in his camp, moreover in his household, and this affected everyone. When the Israelites went to the battle of Ai, they lost because of sin being in their camp. What battles are you losing because of sin? Once we deal with the issues in our lives, then we can have a pure praise.
This is Trevor Banks again, and I'd like to invite you to visit us tonight at Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. Our services begin at 7:30 p.m. Come and join us for great music, anointed preaching, and warm fellowship. We're located just off US 1 at 405 Exoria Avenue in beautiful Fort Pierce, Florida.
Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll-free 1-877-TR-BANKS or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.